thank you all for coming out here on this long July 4th or Independence Day weekend. I bring you once again greetings from that small map dot on 211 called Amosville, located 60 miles due west between Washington, D.C. and Paradise. I'm happy to report that even though it was only 2 weeks ago that I last had the privilege and honor of addressing you, and no, this is not the movie Groundhog Day, one of my favorites, I must say. I'm welcoming to Elysium Farm a baby yak that was born on July 3rd. So that makes the third birth that I've had of yak since acquiring them. I was also able to play just a very small role in it. Although I did not assist in the birth, I was preparing to go to work, and I was walking my dog down the fence line, and as soon as I rounded the turn from the drive going down the gravel road, I saw something that was black with white on it, and my first thought was, oh my gosh, it's a skunk. But fortunately, it wasn't, and as I walked nearer, I found it was a baby yak, much to my surprise. So, but the only problem was it was on the opposite side of the fence as Mama. So had I not just happened to be led to walk down that road, that yak probably would have died. So fortunately, it jumped right up when I neared, and I grabbed it in my arms, and I tried to carefully set it on the opposite side of the wood fence. However, it decided to squirm and fell just a little ways. But Mama and Calf are doing great. So that's my little tale to tell you of what's happening at Elysium Farm. Many of you know that I often get inspired for my talks and my columns by little snippets of song or verse that come to me, and this is no exception. Be prepared for this. Coming to you on a dusty road, good lovin', I got a truckload. And when you get it, you've got something. So don't worry, because I'm coming. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. The Blues Brothers, Briefcase Full of Blues, 1978. Where can you go for a church service and be taken back to hear words from a very upbeat classic song? We'll let Steve Vogel sing it if he wishes to after the service is over. The Blues Brothers first appeared on the National Broadcasting Corporation hit show Saturday Night Live on 17 January 1976. Mr. John Belushi and Mr. Dan Aykroyd played brothers Joliet Jake and Elwood Blues, and their musical and comedic talents led to the release of their album, Briefcase Full of Blues, in 1980. Now, as I sat in front of my computer keyboard waiting for that suitable inspiration, the piece of the song just came at me and got so lodged in my head that I had to follow its energy, and I came up with this talk for you this morning. Before I address the primary issues, a review of the historical conceptions and understandings of the soul, spirit, and the spiritualist conception of the Trinity must be conducted. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I wish he'd just play that song again. The NSA Spiritualist Manual, 19th revision, released in 2004, has an entire section devoted to quotations from some of the most influential philosophers, scholars, and pioneers regarding matters spiritual. Quotations pertaining to the existence and nature of the soul can be found therein. Now, the Greek philosopher Plato is quoted as he addresses the soul. Quote, "The soul of each of us is an immortal spirit and goes to other immortals to give an account of its actions," end quote. Now, the Buddhist conception of the soul is also addressed in a passage taken from relevant Buddhist scripture. Quote, "The soul is not born, it does not die, unborn, eternal, it is not slain, though the body be slain, end quote. So you're getting an idea of the immortal nature of the soul as viewed by different cultures throughout time. Now, the Morris Pratt Institute educational course on modern spiritualism provides an excellent lesson pertaining to the spiritualist conception of the Trinity by discussing the triune nature of man by referencing spiritualist pioneer, Mr. Andrew Jackson Davis's relevant writing. Now, with regard to the triune nature of man. Now, remember, denominational religion talks Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the triune nature. They see it. But the spiritualist conception of the triune nature of man is expressed as body, mind, and soul. In short, he averred the body houses the creative force of all things, which is the mind, and the essence of man's individual expression is the soul, and that the animating, ever-sustaining principal force is spirit. Now, I hope I've laid a proper foundation to continue, because as I was pondering the existence of the soul and spirit, two questions came to mind. Firstly, do lesser creatures, and I had that in quotation marks, lesser creatures. I don't see a hierarchy of creatures per se, but for my readers, I wanted to distinguish this argument. Do lesser creatures of the animal kingdom possess a soul spirit? Secondly, do cloned humans possess a soul spirit? The answer to both questions posed must be both theoretical and subjective, as there is actually no empirical and objective evidence to support the very existence of a soul. So this is going to be subjective. So put on your thinking caps and go with me as I take us on this little dissertation. Now, the first question regarding lower animals being possessive of a soul arose in part to my recent experience assisting in the birth and care of infant Nubian goats. Now, three pregnant Nubian does, all recently kitted in February, and their six kids, actually five kids, survived the harsh Virginia winter. The consideration of animals being possessive of soul spirit is not new to me. And I've spent actually considerable time observing and interacting with various types of domesticated animals. However, this recent experience has provided me with sufficient cause to come down in favor of the affirmative that lesser animals, quote unquote, have a soul and spirit. Now, one Nubian kid, a baby boy, had developed a case of sepsis, blood infection caused in part to the extreme cold experienced on the night of his birth. And it required me to inject antibiotic for seven straight days. On several occasions, this newborn kid, all of several days old, as I would pick it up and hold it in my arms, he would turn his head and look into my eyes. And I felt a definite soul connection as he turned his head and looked into my eye. Now, this same experience was replicated several days later when another kid was born. And this particular little boy had trouble nursing mama. And I had to actually pick him up and keep him warm for an hour at a time. And then gently place him underneath mama so he could nurse. And during that time of holding, again, that eye contact was made, and I definitely felt a soul connection. It's hard to articulate that, but I'm sure that you have had times when you might be caring for a pet or an animal and make that eye contact, or that in some manner you are able to sense the presence of a soul, And my friends, if you remember the Declaration of Principles that we read aloud together, I believe it's principle number eight. It says, the doorway to reformation is never closed before any soul here or hereafter. Now, several years ago, I think it was around 2000, 2003 timeframe, that principle is actually amended to strike the word human soul and just make it soul. So even our NSAC membership comes down in the affirmative to the existence of souls in our animal friends. I'll leave it up to you, though, to determine what you believe. I also had another experience to me that not only emphasized the existence of a soul in the animal friends of ours, but also in life continuous for them. As I mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago, that I had a transition at the farm in late March as my beloved mare, Bess, passed a spirit. She was an old Amish plow horse that spent her last years with me at Elysium. And she suddenly passed a spirit one night on the last snow we had. There in the quiet of my home that night, as I was just contemplating things, she came to me in a very clear vision, showing herself strong and healthy, glowing this golden yellow glow. And I knew that she survived that change called death, as we all do. And she will be there at Rainbow Bridge, probably eating a little grass, but there waiting for me to come. So I am positive that our animal friends are possessive of spirit and soul. And our spiritualist thought, I think, is congruent with not only Buddhist, but Native American thought on that regard. Now, let's switch gears for a moment and leave the existence of the soul of spirit for our animal friends and move on to the second part of the question, and that is, do clones have soul and spirit? Are they possessive of a soul and spirit? Now, let's go into just a brief review of cloning before we attempt at answering that second question. I consulted Silence Daily, who defined cloning as, quote, the process of creating an identical copy of an original organism or thing. A cloning in the biological sense, therefore, is a molecule, single cell, like bacteria, lymphocytes, or multicellular organisms that have been directly copied from and is therefore genetically identical to another living organism, end quote. A clone is a copy. They take, in theory, a bit of skin, a bit of hair, a hair follicle, and from that they can clone an exact duplicate of the host. Now, there is a group known as the Raelian. They are, a movement that has as their principal thought that they have come from an extraterrestrial race. And they have made it part of their mission to successfully clone a human being. And the Raelians established an organization called CloneAid in 1997, I beg your pardon, with the express mission of cloning a human being. And to that again, that end, CloneAid named that a woman underwent a cloning procedure and actually gave birth to a daughter named Eve in 2002. So they said they've already cloned a human being. And if that was true, if they clone a woman, a daughter by the name of Eve, he would be 12 years old now. Now, verification of this claim cannot be made and has been met with rampant skepticism. I don't think, let me put it this way, I hope science has not progressed to some extent, that the cloning of human beings is being attempted. Now, there have also been other contemporaneous cloning attempts, one in the Republic of Korea in 1998 and again in 2004. One day, the rapid advance of science and the relative incaution of the scientists will result in the cloning of a human being. And this brings relevance to our question. Will that clone be possessive of a soul or a spirit? Think about it. While reproductive cloning may one day successfully replicate a living human organism, it must be remembered through the writing of Mr. Andrew Jackson Davis that, quote, the physical body does not create the mind or soul. It is merely the suitable condition for the development and expression of the mind and soul. The mind and soul comes from somewhere else. It doesn't come from just making an exact duplicate of the body. No amount of reproductive cloning can replicate the soul of the original human organism, leaving the copy or copies devoid of soul. If initially devoid of soul, can a spirit migrate to the cloned copy in a manner similar to how a human soul enters the fetus before or at the time of birth? Perhaps this answer depends on whether or not a soul is intended for a specific body. In other words, was my soul, my spirit, intended only for this body? I choose to think it was. I choose to think that it wasn't an accident that I ended up here in this incarnation, in this physical body, that there was a one-to-one match between my soul and spirit and my physical body. Therefore, I think that there's probably a finite number of souls. Now, I don't subscribe to the thought that we're going to reach a time when we're out of souls, and any natural-born human would be soulless. I don't think that's going to happen. Souls, I think, are created. But I think the Creator in all the infinite intelligence matches soul to body and joins them together. But I think because of that, at no time will the cloned duplicate of an individual be possessive of a soul and spirit. So it is my view and my opinion that, again, cloned humans will not be possessive of a soul, given the perceived finite number of souls being paired with incarnating human fetus. If this is true, is it wise to have soulless clones walking amongst us? Now, I hope this talk has spurred a little thought, that maybe after you leave here, you might contemplate it and come up with your own answers. And I look forward to at some point discussing this with you. I'll leave that for your own contemplation with God's blessing. Thank you for allowing me to serve you today.